Can turn to Psalms chapter 100 this morning. I'm going to greet each one in Jesus' name. Look at Psalms 100 and pull our topic or our title for message from that this morning. I enjoyed being here this morning and worshiping God with each one of you. And we have so much to be thankful for. This morning. I just want to read Psalms 100 at this point. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I want to pull our title out of the end of verse 2. Come before the Lord with singing. It wasn't quite 3 years ago, I preached two messages on music. And for some time, I've been thinking about revisiting the subject of music. And it's been on my mind the last little while, and I haven't had to preach a lot. And as we all know, this week has turned out differently for some of us than what we thought. At the beginning of the week, I was counting on asking Bruce Good to preach for us today. And their plans changed. They're not here this morning. And yesterday, as I began to study, I realized that this week is revivals, and it would be really nice to preach something to prepare our hearts for that. But my mind was already in thinking about music. Come before the Lord with singing. Glenn asked the question, are we ready to meet the Lord? And he wondered if I was going to bring a message down that line. And I feel like I have some hard things to say this morning. Things that maybe are difficult to understand and take. But I firmly believe this morning that our music is very key to our ability or our access to eternal life. And we're going to look at some of that. I was just going to do one message just kind of as a reminder, because music is so important to our lives. I was just going to kind of go into every couple years, remind us the importance of music. It's going to be more than one message. And I do have a handout this morning, Lyle and Nate, if y'all want to hand that out at this point. It is this message, and the next one will be somewhat different. If y'all remember what I preached before, it'll be somewhat different. And yet the kingdom of God is the same. And I hope I have enough copies. If you can read this morning, go ahead and take them. You're going to recognize them, I hope. They are. It's copied from our decrees. And one thing I want to say about that is recently here in the last couple of years, Pilgrim has, well, now Living Hope has adopted these decrees. They have changed a little bit from what they used to be. And I have begun to gather that our people have heard one thing, but the decrees are actually written to say something else. So here is what I think the people are hearing when that change came. And that is, all music is available to us. We can listen to anything. And you can take that statement a long ways. But I do believe that perhaps that is what a lot of people have heard. That is not necessarily the truth. One of the things I want to reestablish this morning is that there is two kingdoms. And in the world of music, there is two kingdoms. And there is a clear line. You have God's kingdom on this side, and you have Satan's kingdom on this side. And there is a clear line in music. of which kingdom you are a part of by the music you listen to. Now, you're going to tell me, yeah, right, Lauren. There is music out there that's questionable. I think there's two things that makes music, that clear line of godly music or satanic music, I think there's two things that makes that line blurred, muddy, confusing. One is Satan himself desires that line between God's music and his music to be blurred, because when you and I are confused about an issue, music, that gives him perfect room to come in and deceive us with the music that we're listening to. And second of all is my own carnal heart, our own carnal hearts. Satan's music appeals to the flesh. The disciple of Christ must crucify that flesh. And Satan's music appeals to the flesh, and there are times that we do not want to call that line black and white because our flesh wants that worldly music. And so we want to leave room for it. We want to remain confused about it. But as with many issues in Christianity, there is a clear line. There's two kingdoms. There's not three kingdoms. There's not that third kingdom of neutrality of, it's neither here nor there. And we need to establish it because in our minds, because our salvation is on the stake, depending on the music we listen to. And so I would like to, on the one page, you will see music interests. This is from our decrees. I hope that you are familiar with it. If you're not, we're going to get familiar with it, I hope. I appreciated Dallas's topic Wednesday night. Honor mind in thinking patterns. Because music ties, it just fits right in there. Our music we listen to affects our thinking patterns. And I guess it was God just preparing me for today, because that Wednesday night I didn't realize I would be standing here preaching. I still was counting on Bruce being here. Growing up and to this point in life, I don't recall just a lot of teaching on music. And I've wondered why. Because in my short life and in my experiences, music is so key to whether I am victorious today or whether I fail. It is that important to us. We can have different taste of music within the realm of each kingdom. For example, chorale, choral music, instrument accompaniment, a cappella, men's arrangements, ladies' arrangements, or mixed arrangements. That can all be found in the realm of godly music, okay? Some people here just, they can't stand listening to ladies' arrangement. I get tired of it if that's all I listen to. I also get tired of listening to just men sing. I get tired of listening to instrument accompaniment. I think my favorite has grown into mixed singing. And by the way, this morning, our singing sounded really good up front. We were praising and worshiping God together this morning. And in my opinion, maybe I should say, I think in God's opinion, that's the most beautiful music that He can hear is when Christians get together and sing their hearts out. That is when we are the producers of music, that's what God wants. And when I say producer this morning, I'm not talking about these people that put albums together that are professionals or even groups of people that get together and sing and produce music. When I say producers of music, that means you and I as individual producing the music, whether we write our own or whether we sing songs that we know that have been written. God wants us to be producers. Now, on the flip side, in rock music, you can have hard rock, soft rock, Christian rock, country, Christian country, pop, hip hop, and there's many, many more. And you can have different tastes in that music. But this morning, if you try to say that you have taste in both kingdoms, that's not true. You cannot have a taste of music, of a certain music in God's kingdom, and a slice out of Satan's kingdom. It's one or the other, and it's two separate kingdoms. Just remember that. Satan, I think that Satan is using music today. He wants us to believe that we can have a taste of Christian rock, for example, and still be part of God's kingdom. He wants us to believe that we can have a little bit of His kingdom with Christianity tied to it, and it'll be acceptable. That's not the way it works. You can turn a while to Zephaniah chapter 3. I wanted to look at some verses there. I'm going to give you that reference because that is a book we don't go to a lot, and it's a little bit difficult to find. It comes right before Haggai, if you happen to see that in your Bible. I want to look through our standards as a direction of travel this morning. I don't believe the standards that Living Hope has on music is the top of the world standards, and there's no other out there as good as it. But it is what we agreed as a conference, and as you've joined this church, this is what we have agreed to uphold and embrace and live by. All right, in our standard, one of the first thing it says in the very opening, it says music is a language. That is so, so true. It is the language, and one writer of a book that I have read on music says it is the language of languages. You can take music to any other part of the country, and you can cross our English and Spanish languages, but the music will cross those language barriers far above anything else. And I want to look here in verse 14 of Zephaniah chapter 3. It says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all thy heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing." Notice how the people are commanded to sing and to praise God. That is the response God calls. This is in a setting of Jerusalem being redeemed, forgiven of its sin, being connected back to God. And this is what God is calling his people to do, is to sing. Notice in verse 17, it talks about God singing over his people. What do you think it would sound like to hear God sing this morning? Is it four-part harmony at all at once? Is it 8? Is it 12? I don't know what it would sound like to hear God sing. But I want us to catch something very key in there. Music is a way for our spirit to communicate with spiritual beings outside of this physical realm. Okay? And I did not say with just God, because it is a way to communicate with God or with the kingdom of darkness. I want us to really get a hold of that this morning, because when we understand what God has done for us, what he has redeemed us with, God is a creator God, and he specifically created music, and he created an order to music. We will get to that a little bit later. I'm afraid I'm going to say that a lot this morning. We'll get to that later. And that's why it's going to be two messages, is because I kept typing that out, and I finally realized there's going to have to be a second one because I'm saying it too often. But God is a creator God. He creates things perfectly and in order, and he did with that with music. And there is a certain way that our spirit will connect with God, but it has to be in his order. And if we're not singing in that order, that means our spirit is connecting with another spiritual being, and it may not be God. Music crosses all language barriers. You can just open your songbook to, well, let's go to number one. I want to explain something here this morning, just for you all to see with your eyes and understand what I'm talking about this morning. So in number one, you have your notes, and above and below the words, when I talk about music, that is what I'm talking about. You have your, I'm sorry, I'm not a music teacher. I'm not a song leader, I'm a song starter, but I do know a few basics. You have your staff, your notes, your quarter, your eighth, all those. That is music. And that when I talk about music, that is what I'm talking about. Because we can sing this, actually, without having any words. We can actually call out specific notes, or we can hum that. That is music. There's a certain order to it. There's a certain rhythm. We beat out a certain time. That's music. The words are called lyrics, okay? I'll either use lyrics or words as I go through this. I just want you to understand that. When I talk about music, it means the music. It's the sound that is produced, the rhythm, the beats. I think I'm done with the song, but thank you for following along on that. So as you think about that, I'm going to say another word. And I find this word so fascinating in the music world. It's called legitimate music. Okay, this is what Hollywood, professional music people, Hollywood and professional music, that's what they call God's order of music. When it follows, so all throughout creation, you can study into this. There's so much about it. But in creation, God created music to follow His pattern. There's so many things that line up with this. And the world calls that legitimate music. Okay? The music that follows God's created order. I want you to think about something. You can have legitimate music with lewd or sinful words. This is not good music. We don't want to be singing that. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to take it in. You can have rock music and legitimate words or Christian words. That still is not good music. To connect our spirit with the Spirit of God, it takes a combination of legitimate music and lyrics that honor and exalt and glorify God. It can also speak of our personal experience in relation to God. And I should have studied into some songs that would speak about our personal walk. We could go into Psalms that David wrote. He wrote a lot of songs about the trouble he was in, the difficulties of life. But almost every single time he ended up with his songwriting with honor and praise and exalting God for taking him through that situation and giving him the strength to live it. But it takes legitimate music with legitimate words for our spirit to connect with the Spirit of God. If we don't have legitimate music, if it follows Satan's design of beat, the words are sung with that same satanic part. I don't care if the label is Christian or not. It is of the kingdom of darkness. Another word I want us to think about is crossover. There's crossover songs, and those songs are usually use pronouns that are non-gender specific. They can be sung anywhere in any walk of life. Since the pronouns are non-gender, you could sing it at church referring to God. You could go to the bar and sing and refer to whatever person you want it to. That's a crossover song. There's also crossover groups. These are people that will sing legitimate music and rock music. Groups that produce both songs. We may get to this more in depth today or tomorrow or another day. My only comment on this is a question. Where do we find a biblical principle where we can use this crossover terminology in the kingdom of God? Where does Jesus teach us that floating between the kingdoms and, well, as we think about it, in music is acceptable? I just ask that question. Does Jesus leave an example of doing this? I think my mind went to his wilderness temptations. Did Jesus cross over back and forth? No, he drew the line. This is wrong. This is right. I'll just leave it at that for now. We've been kind of covering a lot of the first three paragraphs. I talked about our spirit connecting with God. Briefly touched on that. Briefly touched on the language part of it, the communicating part, and I would just like to spend the rest of the message looking at the three scripture verses here in the first part, biblical principles related to music A, B, and C. And I just have some thoughts on that. I didn't have a lot of notes this morning, and I was afraid I'd run out of time, and then I got afraid I wouldn't have enough time. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. Let's turn there. Please, if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 14. They just give part of the verse here. I want to get the entire context. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. This is in the middle of Paul's discourse on tongues. And the men that I did not come up with this original verse. I identify with it. I embrace it. But the men that use this verse, perhaps you say they took it out of context, but I don't think they did. Let's read verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. This is talking about speaking in tongues in a church service, I believe. And we're thinking we're thinking about this in context of all of life. And I want us to think about, I will sing with understanding. Do we sing with understanding this morning? Do you know what you're singing about? Do you understand the music that you're consuming? Do you understand what this is all about? Let's consider all of life. Do you understand the base of music that it is coming from? Do we know what kind of people it is? And I'm not going to really talk about the books I read. I may refer to some quotes, some things said in these books. And here's one of them. Rock musicians will unashamedly tell us that their music is designed to resurrect within man his carnal nature. It intentionally brings to life our sexual lusts and our rebellious nature. Now remember, I'm talking about the music, the notes, the tone that's produced. Satan's music intentionally does that. Okay? And the musicians that sing it, the hardcore people, unashamedly will tell you that. It's what they want. And then we have, and this is one of my burdens that I have as I think about music. And then we have our Anabaptist people saying, well, this kind of music is just my taste of music. Really? What are you saying by that statement? This country gospel, it's my taste. Well, and many, many times I've heard people go soft on country music. And my understanding is that country music is considered soft rock in society, okay? It's not the hard rock, it's just the soft rock. The beat is still, it's not within God's creation, it's that offbeat, that is part of Satan's kingdom. What are we saying when, well, this is just our taste of music? What I think we're saying is it appeals to my flesh. It makes my flesh feel good, and I can cover it up by putting Christian on it. And it's okay because we have Christian lyrics with satanic music. Let me ask you this. Since when can I eat a Kit Kat candy bar and tell you that it turns to broccoli before it hits my stomach? Is that a reality in our life? I love Kit Kats. And I hope I never get myself deceived to the point where I think it turns to broccoli till it hits my stomach. But when we cover up satanic music with Christian lyrics, that's what we're trying to tell ourselves spiritually. I can take in Satan's kingdom, cover it up with God's words, and it'll just convert in me, and it'll do me good. We're deceiving ourselves. Let's go to Colossians 3, verse 16. And I'm sorry, but I will not get into the mechanics of music, the offbeat and all that much this morning. That'll have to come later. I'm wanting us to understand the basis, the importance of right music, being connected with God. Colossians 3, 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This kind of goes back to my opening thoughts of communicating our language. I believe right next, I don't know if they're equal in value, if praying is more important, but right next to praying, singing is how our spirit communicates to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can communicate with Him through prayer, but we also can communicate with God through singing. And we were doing that this morning. Our hearts were, at least I experienced it, and I trust you did. I felt my heart connecting with the Spirit of God. I thought about it so much this morning after Marvin had that devotions, and then Dallas led that song about faith encamped. That just, the devotion and the song, just it just brought our hearts together, and I could say, yes, Lord, I understand it takes faith to face the giants that I face today. That is what I'm talking about, our spirit communicating with God's spirit. There's a connection there. Yes, we experience it through prayer. Prayer is a subject that is an entire different subject of communicating this morning. But I believe that another very, very excellent and important way is that we communicate with God through our singing. We cannot communicate with the Holy God except that we communicate to Him with His music. If the music that we are using to attempt to communicate to God with is not His music, if it is from the realm of darkness, God hears it, but we do not connect spirit to spirit. It's impossible for that to happen. As I stated before, I think we can only communicate to God with legitimate music. He does not communicate back. God hears that, but He does not communicate back to that style of music. And I think we do well at this point to remember 2 Corinthians 11:14. That brings out, that's the verse, I'll just read it here. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed, or he transforms himself into an angel of light. And I think I'm alluded to this before. I believe that Satan is using this to deceive many people. Yes, even Anabaptist people that are raised in good godly settings, to deceive us into thinking that we can use his music and put God's word to it and connect with God. I don't believe we can. I just don't see how it's possible. I'm drawing from memory, but I did just read my notes from the previous two messages. I believe, if I remember correctly, In 22, when I pulled this data, there's 80 million songs on Spotify. That's just Spotify. I don't know about some of the others, okay? 80 million songs. And there's 60,000 being added daily. Is that a safe place to pull our music from? You answer that. Okay, the next verse is C, 1 Corinthians 14. Let all things be done decently in an order. That's verse 40. And that is the entire verse. I read it because I didn't turn to it because that is the entire verse. Maybe you don't think this applies to music, but I believe it does. God created an order to music. And I believe this applies to in what we sing or what we listen to. God created music. He created it with a tempo and a rhythm. And I find in my study of music, there has been a lot of research and studies done on humans and animals between legitimate music and rock. I don't have time to get into all this thing, but the conclusion that I have found is that rock music affects humans and animals much the same. It's a negative effect. It does not. They've done a lot of different researches from a lot of different angles for a lot of different reasons, and the results are almost always the same. Legitimate music always has a positive influence on humans and animals, and the rock music always has a negative. Why? Quite simply, God created order. God created music with a specific order, and His creation will be at rest when we follow His order. Let's go to Ezekiel 28. Please turn to this if you have your Bibles. I think some of you Bible scholars know where I'm headed. God, it shouldn't even surprise the Christian that rock music has a negative effect on God's creation. Let's start reading at verse 11 of Ezekiel 28. I'm sorry, verse 12. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Cyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up thy sum of full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold. And the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity is found in thy heart. I want to tie this in with the above point of let things be done in decently and in order. This set of scripture was written to the king of Tyre, but I think we as Bible scholars understand that God is actually referring to Lucifer or to Satan himself. Notice verse 13. Made a little statement about of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. My understanding of this world, it is in the realm of music. Maybe like pipes as an organ or some other wind instrument, one that you blow with your mouth. God created this being, Lucifer. One of his chief reasons for being created was to sing and to praise God. Maybe as Michael, is it Michael, the archangel, is the leader, would you say, of the angels of God for war? I have wondered at times if Lucifer was created to be the leader of the heavenly choir. I don't know all that. I'm just reading into some of that. But the fact is, God created Lucifer to sing before him, to worship. But in verse 15, it tells us, till iniquity was found in thee. And we know could read on the other verses how God cast him out, and we know by revelation that he took a third of the angels with him. God didn't take that music playing ability away from Satan when he fell. Satan took that with him. And as Satan did with so many other things, he tried to imitate God. So the very reason Satan fell was because of pride, and he wants to set himself up and take us humans, get us humans to worship him instead of God. And he does this through music. He has tried to imitate God in so many ways to deceive humanity into worshiping him, and he has done it with his music as well. That is why I say there is two kingdoms in music. And I don't believe there's a third kingdom. You are either listening to music from God's kingdom or you're listening to music from Satan's kingdom, because he is trying to replicate God. He came up with his, I guess you would say he came up with his own beat, his tempo, the way he gets people to sing, and it all appeals to our flesh. And so that is why I say God created man as musical beings. When we fell, our spirit then can connect with Satan even through music. Producing and consuming right music is so key to a victorious walk with God. I believe in Isaiah 14 is a parallel chapter to this. It talks, both writers write very similarly. In verse 17, I want to pull this thought out of 17. It says that he opened not the house of his prisoners, referring to Satan. And we understand the addictive bondage of many things that Satan, sin itself is addictive in its bondage. You know what? Satan's music is the same way. You can never get enough. And I've experienced this in my life. Whether it's Christian rock or hard rock, I don't care. You just need more and more. It's got to be harder. It's got to be longer. It's got to be louder. And in the world of music, all forms of it, all forms of rock music, I understand, and this includes country, pop, any form of that satanic music, has the same effect on our brain as drug addicts experience. It's bondage. He does not open his house for his prisoners. We need more and more of that music. We can never get enough. We become addicted to it. And it has a negative effect on our physical body. Well, I need to bring this to a close. But friends, that is why it is important to sing and to listen to good music. It will affect our eternal destiny. So in conclusion, what can we take home from here? Ask yourself, as I ask myself this question, is the music I listen to legitimate? And I'm meaning, is it legitimate and as in the order of God's creation? Is my spirit in tune with God's spirit through music? Am I communicating to God through my music? Just to give you a taste of the future, I think I had written in here, I don't know if I said it a number of times about looking into this later. Is there a ratio of produced music to consumed music that is healthy? And I want to elaborate just a little bit so you understand where I'm coming from. Since man has been able to record, to produce and record and save music, it is a known fact that we have become more and more and more consumers of music. And we're not producing music like we used to ourselves. Many churches struggle to even get the congregation to sing. And I'm not talking about the how of music, I'm talking about the what of music this morning. We have become consumers. And maybe a way to just get your mind to where I'm going is, I think at one point the welfare system of our country had a purpose and it actually maybe helped some people. But I think we see the effects of the welfare system in our society today. People have become dependent on the government. And I see us as humanity, when we become too heavy on the consumer side, we become dependent on something else. I want you to take that home and just chew on it. And I know there's people sitting here just looking at me and saying, but Lauren, you have no idea. I can't sing worth a hoot. Yes, you can. There's a Psalms, and I forget if I read it this morning. Yes, I did. Make a joyful noise. You don't have to be musical. You can just make noise. You can still communicate to God through that if it's within the realm of His legitimate music. But there is something so key happens in our hearts when we are producers rather than consumers. The music I consume, what patterns of thinking are created? Does it feed my flesh? Does it make my flesh feel good to listen to this music? This morning, if it sounds like music that appeals to Satan's kingdom, then the most probable fact is that it is Satan's music. And we are not some first superhuman creature that can take that music in and change it within ourselves to glorify God. Taking that music in by choice separates me from the kingdom of God. And I wanted to elaborate on this more, but I don't have time. But I do want to say this. If we are choosing to take that music into our heart, Satan's music, Jesus cannot dwell within our hearts. He goes outside the door and He's knocking, wanting back in. If we are choosing Satan's music, the two kingdoms cannot coexist. And we can go to Matthew and see that principle there. Taking Satan's music in by choice separates us from the kingdom of God. It changes the way we see God, the way we communicate with God. It separates us from connecting with God's people. It affects how we see life. Music plays a vital role in our eternal destiny. Are we serious about our music? Let's kneel for prayer.